fundamentally, I think of sports tech as something that will either bring in more people to play sports or enable people to play sports better. And I think we're seeing efforts in that space. We're seeing some momentum. But I think it's a combination of being able to create access. It's a combination of being able to create attitude change. It's in Asia, we have these, between 14 and 18, you have all these exams that suddenly take on a lot of importance because it determines your admission to colleges and, so-called future career pathways. And therefore, a lot of children drop out of the sports ecosystem at that point in time, right? And I think, again, sports tech has a big role to play in correcting some of those drop-offs, right?
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. We are kicking off our series focusing on the sports tech ecosystem in India. The motherland is where I come from, and it is where I spend time, well, every year, since the last 5 years, 6 years now that I've been living in Europe. Usually it has been for a bit of a break to connect with family, to escape the European winter and go for a bit of sun. But increasingly over the last couple of years, it has become just an extended work trip. The reason for that is that the Indian sports tech ecosystem is thriving. There's a lot that's been happening there for a few years now. But it feels also like we've graduated beyond just that first wave of sports tech, which is fantasy sports, fitness, and maybe a bit of gaming. The market is opening up in a bunch of different ways. So what we're doing at Sports Tech X is to shine our spotlight, on the Indian sports tech ecosystem for this entire month. We're going to be speaking to leaders in sports tech from India who operate in that market and culminating in what will be the first ever Indian sports tech report. So as always, some interesting content to come from our end. And who better to kick off the series from my perspective than a good friend, a partner, somebody I've known for a while, and somebody who's been active in the sports and sports tech ecosystem in India. I have on today's episode, Rohan Vyavharkar, who leads investment in sports at Omidyar Network India, but also does a bunch of other things. I'll let him tell you more about that. Welcome to the show, Rohan.
Thank you so much, Rohan. Good to be here.
Good to have you. Yeah, so for context, Rohan and I have known each other a very long time, but we've also done a bit of work together more recently. So for people who've been following our content, we did a little series, a couple of events. I won't say a series. We did two events in India while I was there earlier this year. We did one in Mumbai and one in Bangalore. And yeah, Rohan was very much a partner in terms of getting us access, finding the right people that we need to bring in the room. And the idea of those events was just to get the conversation going around sports tech. What's happening in the space? What are the topics that are trending? What are the opportunities in the Indian market? Because in India, it feels like throw a stone, you're hitting a hot sector kind of situation in that market, right? So sports is one of them. And Rohan is going to talk to us more about it today. So that's a bit of context setting. Rohan, I'll let you first introduce yourself to our listeners who maybe don't know Omidyar, maybe don't know you, and maybe don't know too much about the Indian sports tech ecosystem. So why don't I leave it to you to do an intro for yourself and also maybe share your thoughts, early thoughts on what's happening in India from a sports tech perspective.
Sure. Thanks, Ron. And you know, just to sort of, so it's actually interesting when I was thinking about how I'll talk about this, I thought there's interesting parallel between my journey as someone in sport and the sports ecosystem in India at large, right? I started playing cricket as almost every boy did about 20, 30 years ago. And I played it fairly seriously, fairly competitively. And, as you got older, you realized that you needed to decide whether you wanted to make it a career. And at that point, we didn't have as many avenues available. Unfortunately, I had an injury, which sort of, took the choice out of my hands. Therefore, I sort of went into into journalism, following into sports journalism eventually, and then into building brands and IPs in sport. Worked with companies like Red Bull and Twitter, where sort of had an opportunity to cross over. I've run a sports tennis team in something called the International Premier Tennis League that was set up. Ran the Singapore team. I've run a health and wellness company for one of the gurus of sports marketing in India, Ravi Krishnan, a company called Stepathlon. And then sort of landed up here at Omedia Network India. I'm crunching about 20 plus years in about 35-40 seconds, but for the last 2 years here at ONI, what I've been doing is we're an impact investment firm which focuses on helping create a meaningful life for every Indian. And one of the ways to be able to do that is through sport, right? So looking at the intersection of impact and intersection of social impact and intersection of sport. And for those of us who've been in the industry and have even peripherally, it's not very hard to imagine the role and the impact that sport can have in changing people's lives and the trajectory, not just of people, but also of society. And I think that's really, that for me is the more exciting thing. And we're actually seeing that in parallel. Like I said, as my career progressed, a lot of this was changing, right? So we went from being a cricket first nation to embracing European football as it emerged on TV, then eventually sort of seeing a resurgence for hockey, seeing the emergence of more indigenous sort of leagues. Of course, the IPL helped in a big way and took cricket to the masses in a way that had not been done before. And then you had 2008, which is Abhinav Bindra winning the 10-meter Olympic 10-meter air rifle gold medal, which really for my mind is almost the 1983 equivalent of non-cricket sport. And that changes the trajectory, because suddenly there's a certain self-belief, right? And that then you have 2021, 13 years later, where you have Neeraj Chopra sort of emulating, albeit on the track, Abhinav Bindra. And then that sort of takes on another direction. So I feel like the evolution of sport in India, while organic in a lot of ways, is today far more curated than it has ever been. And a large part of that is because you're seeing the benefits of technology that have touched the other sectors, right? Whether it's financial inclusion, whether it's education, whether it's things like governance, and that sort of bring all of that into sport. And that's and therefore I think you're also seeing the government, state as well as the central government, starting to realize that, look, this is actually great for human development indexes, and this is great for bringing people together as well. And I think being able to use that as a platform to create meaningful change is where sport's at. And I think from a technology standpoint, technology then becomes an incredibly strong layer of enablement, right? And depending on what your goals are, and whether it's about taking coaching to the masses, whether it's about discovery of athletes, whether it's about just plain simple, awareness. Hey, there's an event happening here, and let me go participate. It's about opening up new avenues, including infrastructure. So, you're seeing in so many different ways, and we'll talk about it, I'm sure, and you're seeing so many of such sort of examples that are just now sort of coming, bearing fruit because of the social transformation that India has seen, and also the sort of, success in some sense that you've seen in the other avenues, across India, that is now sort of finding its way into sport. Some of it, like I said, is curated. Some of it is organic. Where I see my role, and we've talked about this a lot, is where now we need to take it into a space where we can make something meaningful, purposeful, really shape and curate the way things develop from here onwards. Because I think we're at a critical point, with the talk around the Olympics, if India's going to host it in 2036, etc. I mean, these are all real conversations. There's a real interest in sport. There's a real momentum that's building. Sorry, I didn't go on for as long as I did, but yeah.
No, but that's fantastic. You speak with passion, and that's important because the last word where you ended it is the perfect place. There is a momentum. in that market around sports, around a lot of industries, like I said, but around sports specifically.
Yeah.
And the incredible opportunities that India presents itself to people that have passion in a particular area, go pursue it, you'll find something. And sports is one of those. For those maybe uninitiated on Indian sports, the timeline that Rohan was talking about, which was absolutely landmark events in Indian sports. So Indian, in 1983, India won its first ever Cricket World Cup, a sport which has been dominated by the English and Australians up to that point, in the West Indies, actually, who had won the World Cups. But traditionally, in English and Australian sport, and India was this first Asian country to go and announce itself on the world stage. And that was a big moment in Indian sports that, hey, we can compete with the best of them. That happened in 1983. It took a good 25 years till 2008. I believe it was the Athens Olympics, right?
Beijing
Olympics, sorry, where Abhinav Bindra won the gold, India's first ever gold in an individual sport, in the 10-meter rifle, as Rohan said. And more recently, in 21, at the Tokyo Olympics, India won its first ever gold in athletics, where Neeraj Chopra went and won a gold medal in javelin. So on the back of those important global sports achievements for India, there has been a kick on. It's felt like the ecosystem has moved forward. And coming off the back of Neeraj Chopra's win, you feel like there is again, come back to it, growing momentum in and around sports. Rohan, I want to come back to the tech side of things, or the startup ecosystem, because that's where we operate, right? That's what we're looking at. Where is the growth coming from? And it's the next generation of, let's say, tech and entrepreneurs who are fueling the future of sport in India. What does that look like for you from your perspective? What kind of startups are most interesting to you?
So that's a loaded question, and I hope I'm not going to alienate people with what I think we need to answer these questions with honesty, but I'm going to just so look, I think in India today we've used a lot of models that have worked in the West, right? We've looked at analytics, and there are some people doing incredible work in analytics, right? And you know, you've showcased some of them yourselves. So we have analytics, we have marketplaces, we have aggregators, right? Similar to marketplaces. We have people who are doing things like broadcasting, which is, you know, which I think is a niche of its own, sort of. And then you have the folks who are really looking at things like gaming and real money gaming, and you know, which I think is a different category altogether. And I don't necessarily think of it as sports tech in the way that that one would think of. To my mind, it's slightly outside the ecosystem because it doesn't encourage people to play sports. So I fundamentally think of sports tech as something that will either bring in more people to play sports or enable people to play sports better. Right, so that's kind of how I sort of think of sports tech as a category, and therefore I think there is a massive sort of opportunity in really what one will define as mass participation, right? About getting more Indians to play, and I think we're seeing efforts in that space. We're seeing some momentum, but I think it's a combination of being able to create access. It's a combination of being able to create attitude change. It's that combined with, in India, we have like sociologically, we have this major problem of academics. And I guess it's an Asian, it's also a very Asian thing, right? Academics sort of tend to take a much larger mind share than anything else. And in households where you have young children, what you really need is you need, you and I, Rohan, had the benefit of having parents who actually encouraged us to go and play sport, right? Therefore, you know, we need, like, I think that attitude, once that starts to change, I think we'll see a lot more people sort of enter the bottom of the pyramid or bottom of the, you know, what, or the top of the funnel, either way you want to describe it. And I think that's really what's got to, you know, that's really where the opportunity is. Can we create more people, like, can we create actually just a movement around people willing to play more sport, right, at all different age groups? And I think obviously the attraction is always to go for the kids, because once you sort of start, you know, get them to play young, you'll sort of hopefully keep them playing for a long time. But what you're also seeing is that a lot of them start to drop off when, you know, again, in Asia, we have these, between 14 and 18, you have all these exams that suddenly take on a lot of importance, because it determines your admission to colleges and, you know, so-called future career pathways. And therefore, a lot of children drop out of the sports ecosystem at that point in time, right? And I think, again, sports tech has a big role to play in correcting some of those drop-offs, right? And some will drop off, yes, because, you know, they don't want to pursue it as a professional or whatever. But there are a lot of kids and a lot of parents who are simply not able to convince themselves and therefore their kids and vice versa to stay within the sports ecosystem, right? So there's that. Then there are things like livelihood. So, like, for example, if I give 20 years of my life to a sport, but I don't make it to a high, you know, to the highest levels, what does a country, like, how does a country where, you know, our per capita incomes are not necessarily very high, but how do you create pathways to livelihood, right? So therefore, there are these opportunities, and you're seeing a lot of these kind of, and again, you know, examples are there, but I think given that we're a 1.4 billion people market, there is a lot more that can be done in that space. So that's on the opportunity side, right? But on the other side of the work that's actually being done, yes, I mean, we have some trailblazers, right? We've got the company, you know, we've got people who have sort of taken up the analytics. We've got some broadcasting heavy hitters already in this space. We've got some people who are really sort of moving the needle as far as the space around just aggregating is concerned, right? Whether it's playgrounds, whether it's equipment, we're starting to see some of this sort of happen, and I think it all needs to happen in parallel. I don't think there is, you know, it's not a sequential. It's not a matter of doing it sequentially. It's a matter of sort of doing it together.
Yeah, and I think that's where the opportunity is created. And I want to stay on for a second on getting people more active and getting people, you know, to play sport. I think what you just mentioned is a big part of it, that parents don't support their children simply because they don't see a future career in sport. They don't know how you're going to make a livelihood in sport. And that's changing. Either you could be in professional sport as an athlete, or you could work in professional sport. And maybe those career options didn't exist before. But when it comes to India, you can't call it a misconception, because it is true for the most part that India is a one-sport country. But it's certainly something that is changing. Maybe you can speak to that a bit. What are the sports that are gaining traction? Because the government is investing, or the central government is investing a lot to get people more active. They have initiatives like Halo India, which is translated to English as Play India. Or we have other initiatives like Fit India, where the government is investing money in providing access to sports. But that is going beyond just cricket, right? It's going to fitness, to athletics, to football, soccer, tennis, badminton, paddle, all sorts of other sports are emerging. So just quickly, from your perspective, what are the maybe trending sports, or are we actually successfully breaking this culture, or do you think of this one sport culture, or do you think that's still a ways away?
Right. So it depends on which cohort of people I want to please now on by answering that question. But I think that...
Speak the truth, man. Truth to gospel, yeah.
So look, I think cricket's very much like, especially if you look at it from a revenue standpoint, right? I think cricket is still very much, by far, the most popular sport, right? And will continue to be for a while. What I think needs to happen is, look, ultimately the pie needs to get larger. I think that number one is that, right? Like, can we make, or in this case, the ball needs to get bigger, right? I think that's really what we're all trying to do. It's not really so much about, I mean, you can't, it'll take generations for us to sort of, you know, get cricket to go from, I mean, and if you take, depending on the latest report, that media agency, called Group M that put a report out, and they, you know, estimated marketing and spends at around 79% for cricket, and majority of it was sort of focused on men's cricket in India. That will take generations to sort of normalize, equalize, right? But I think what one must focus on is the wins that are happening. I mean, it's very easy to be cynical and say we'll never have another sport. But instead, can we say that, look, because for example, one big success story that's emerged out of India, and maybe not financially, but certainly from popular ground support, is Kabaddi, right? So Kabaddi, for those who do not know, is an indigenous sport. It can be played. It's now played in slightly, you know, fancy arenas and rubber mats, etc. But it's a sport that can be played on just mud grounds, right? And it's played in the villages. It's really a truly sort of earthy sport, sort of, you know, salt of the earth kind of sport, if there ever is in India. And then there's that. So that's been gaining momentum, right? And depending on whose statistics you believe, it's the second most watched sport in the country, which is great news. What it does not do, however, and again, this is the Group M report that I'm referring to, what it does not do, however, it does not show up in terms of things like social media. And therefore, what that tells you is that the people watching it aren't necessarily the ones with the spending power. Right, because these are the people in the villages. They have the numbers in terms of eyeballs, but they don't necessarily talk about it on social media. Which means, I mean, you do the extrapolation. It means that this is largely an audience that is not social media conversant, right? And that translates into lower spending power. So you sort of, you know, you start to tabulate that. We now have the Indian Super League, which is our football league. You know, there's 12 teams that play in there, and. And again, there is so much that can happen there. There is a lot of so we're seeing, but at the same time, we're seeing these things happen, right? Like the worst thing would be us sitting here saying, "Yeah, we're a one sport nation; nothing's really happening." But the fact is, some things are changing and some things are happening. So there's Kabaddi, there's football, and like you said, you know, we're seeing now, especially in the urban areas, we're seeing a lot of activity around things like paddle, right? We're seeing. The other sort of urban phenomenon that we are, and a lot of startups now are starting to focus on this, is we're starting to see this phenomenon of gated communities, not necessarily in places like Bombay, which is where land is at a super premium, but definitely in Ron, in your hometown of Bangalore or in Delhi, or where there is a history of sort of these complexes. You're seeing a lot more complexes and urban sort of gated communities that are starting to see a lot of sporting activity, right? And there are now startups and companies that are starting to tap into those and saying that, hey, look, let us formalize some of this for you. We'll take over the running of the company. I mean, of the facilities. We'll sort of, you know, provide you opportunities through coaches, etc. So there are those kind of sort of, if you want to call them grassroots movements that are happening as well, right? And I think what that is bringing in is it's bringing in that attitude change, and it's bringing in non-cricketing sort of sports into conversation, right? Because I think what it comes down to, what the Kabaddi, the reason I brought up the Kabaddi example on social media, is what it tells you is that we'll first need to spend on sport for that sport to then, it's almost like kicking off the spending cycle. If you kick off the spending cycle, we'll sort of see more and more money come into it. And of course, these things take a little longer than in India, because the numbers are not going to be as large as, let's say, in Europe at a per capita level. But it eventually will happen. And, you know, another great example of this is you look at the sort of, despite the super premiumness of real estate that I spoke about in a place like Mumbai or Bombay, you're seeing a absolute explosion of football pitches, right? For futsal, for five-a-side, for seven-a-side. And you go anywhere, and it's very hard to go anywhere within urban Mumbai and not have access. Albeit it's not cheap, but you know, for someone with disposable income and you know, the middle class and above, it's very affordable, right? And you're seeing a lot of that. So that is almost a downstream sort of outcome of what happened with the European leagues coming in and eliciting interest around sport when I was like when we were teenagers, right? So I think so. You're seeing almost it takes almost 15 to 20 years for these sort of cycles to come around, but they will come around, right? So I think that anyone sort of listening to this and sort of thinking about how to look at India is a market that requires a lot of patience, and it's a country that requires a lot of patience. You know, I think it's fair to say, but I think it also teaches you a lot of, you know, it's a very unique market in the way you learn. It's a very unique market in terms of how people will sort of get to, you know, how they actually the path to playing a sport, right? And I think that is again very important. You know?
A super interesting point, I think, which is why I think you mentioned this at the start of the conversation about how solutions emerge and India being the unique case that it is. It's not so easy to just copy paste successful models from Western markets into India. Yeah, you can take the core idea, which might be access to sports. It might be some sort of analytics, might be some sort of fan engagement solution, but it has to really be contextualized to the Indian market and delivered, especially at a price point that maybe a European solution is not used to. Covered a lot of interesting stuff there, but in terms of access to sports, it's growing and there are other sports that are emerging, other business models that are emerging, which also create a bunch of opportunities. I want to go from here to trends. And again, talking about business opportunities, what are some of the things that you are most interested in from an investor perspective? I know there are a couple of things that you've already invested in. Maybe you can speak to those as well. And beyond that, maybe which is broadcasting related, beyond that, what are the other areas that you look at, which are actually, from your perspective, the biggest opportunities from a sports and sports technology implementation roadmap?
Yeah. And Ron, just again, to clarify for our listeners, I think, and audience, I think it's important to know that I see sports tech as an like or technology as an enabler to getting more people into sport, right? So I think for me, sports tech, even if it's something as pure as analytics, is still an opportunity to be able to sort of say, hey, look, this is how you play better, right? Because I at this point we're very much in India, especially, and maybe the West is different. I mean, not maybe it is different in that over there the outlook is to sport itself is different, right? And therefore, we're still pretty primary. So to answer your question, I think what's exciting, like you mentioned, you know, we've invested in a company called SportVault. SportVault is a DIY broadcast platform that provides solutions for either for hobbyists as well as for federations, right? So you can go from showing you can basically broadcast a game, your neighborhood football game, for example, off your phone. You can do multi-camera switching. You can have graphics. You can have these cool highlights packages, all of your mobile phone, right, if you choose to do that. And or you and I could use both our phones and we could sort of, do a multicam thing. And they're also being used by sports federations, by cricketing bodies. They're sort of not just in India, but globally as well, right? So the reason that excites me is because what it's doing is it's basically bringing sports into your living room. It's allowing you as a community, as a member of your community, to participate in community sports that are happening in and around you, right? As a scout, it's allowing you to see somebody who's playing thousands of miles away or kilometers away in India and sort of being able to, you know, provide a pathway to discovery, right? As a federation, it's allowing you to be transparent in saying, hey, look, we've conducted these trials. These are the best performers. Very simple. And, you know, there was no partiality because there tends to be, accusations of politicking in Indian sport quite often, like saying that, hey, look, there is actually nothing. This is transparent. It's black and white. Right? We chose these people on merit. So I think these sort of solutions abound. And, you know, hopefully we'll see more of those as well. And the other sort of thing is, you know, around physical literacy, right? Like how do we actually get people to move, right? And then there are solutions, and there are various solutions in that, right? And these are not companies we have invested in, but there's a company called Khelo More, which is run by a former Indian cricketer, Jatin Paranspe, and he his whole philosophy is, you know, initially they sort of started taking on, they were an aggregator for different sort of playing venues, right? And there's a few of them in India, but now they're sort of evolving as a sort of thing. Is like, how do we now upskill the coaches and the people who will teach people how to play sport on those venues, right? So they're taking a slightly different approach. They're taking, you know, looking at skills as an enablement layer, where technology, of course, plays a big part, right? In being able to deliver those instructions and being able to sort of deliver those lessons. And I think that's where, you know, and you just mentioned it, is this convergence of different sort of pathways and streams that have to happen. So whether it's skills and livelihood and sport, whether it's sort of, you know, discovery and sort of, you know, the opportunity creation and sport, right? So I think at various levels. And then you have the other thing, and I know it's not strictly sports tech or even technology, but I think it's important that there's a big movement around philanthropy in sport, right? Which is helping people understand the power of sport in the way that they can change their lives. This is people who are underserved. This is people who don't have that much agency. So you have organizations like Magic Bus or Pro Sport Development or, you know, Nandi Foundation or, you know, Abhinav Bindra Foundation Trust. And all of these folks are sort of using through different programs are being able to sort of, you know, bring more and more people into sport who are then eventually going to then find an opportunity as a coach, right? And then maybe they work with a Khelo more and then or maybe they find an opportunity and a sport ward then sort of puts them onto a public platform and then they find an opportunity and get discovered somewhere down the road. So I think all of this has to sort of, you know, has to work together. And to answer your question, like where does this all sort of culminate? I think is somewhere in a combination of mass participation and access, right? Because that to me is the holy grail. If you can create a movement, around mass participation and really get people to be physically active, and there are, like we've just sort of talked about, you know, different pathways, and then there are government initiatives like Fit India. You know, we're seeing private investors. We're seeing some private investment also in this. There are again interesting models where you have real estate companies that are taking over schools, and you know, this especially affordable private schools, etc. Like they're taking over the facilities of these schools and converting them and sort of upgrading these facilities, and then opening them up to the public. Right. So what happens in this sort of mixed models is that you get the benefit from a community standpoint. I get the benefit of being able to go to a gym in my neighborhood or a swimming pool in my neighborhood that's pretty well maintained and pretty top end. But if I'm studying in that school, I also get access to the same facilities, right? And the economics of it, you know, that's the part where I think people are still trying to figure out. But it looks like the economics is working. So once that, you know, once we see a proliferation of that model, we'll see a lot more access, and then that will also drive mass participation.
And as long as that model is working, I think that's the positive sign. I think we've covered a lot about, and I think for most part of this conversation, which is already motoring along, we're half an hour in, we've covered a lot about, or actually only spoken about, access to sports from an athlete's perspective. And I think your perspective on sports tech is also from an athlete's perspective, but I'd be remiss to if I didn't ask or talk about the Indian sports fan. Because that is an important conversation especially for a lot of people in sports organizations in Europe or the US or different markets, which are looking to tap into the Indian sports fan. What opportunities do you think exist around that, around either technology connecting to sports fan, gathering sports fan data, delivering new experiences? Is there anything interesting you're seeing in those areas?
So, and again, I mean, I think it's very early days from a fan engagement standpoint. And I think the fan engagement in a company like Dream 11 has done a fantastic job of it, right? Where they're sort of looking at, they've taken these models and they've really sort of driven fan engagement. I mean, it's really hard to find, especially it's the Indian Premier League season right now in India. It's very hard to find people who are not doing fantasy sport, right? And it's
just to clarify exactly that for somebody who doesn't know what Dream 11 is, it is the biggest fantasy sports provider in India. Last deck that I saw, I think there are about 140 million people on their platform. It's basically daily fantasy. It's essentially what they play. It's real money gaming, but under the guise of fantasy. So there's a lot of real money flowing through the coffers at Dream 11. But yes, they're the poster boys, poster child in some ways of this segment.
Yeah. And actually, I think that number is now upwards of 200 million.
So the deck that I saw was a bit out of date, clearly.
So the point is, I think that you have models like Dream 11, but I also think that there is that again is really the basic sort of I would consider that as like the basic of fan engagement, right? The absolute base of fan engagement for a lot of ways. The gap and the opportunity therefore is in first party data, and to be honest, we've not seen anyone do that well. Right, I mean, people claim to have done it, but I think there's a lot of IPL teams that talk about sort of fan engagement and first party data. But IPL, unfortunately, again, for those who do not know, is essentially like a 2 month long tournament, right? Eight to 10 week tournament that runs where you have Indian as well as overseas cricketers sort of coming in into India, and it's a lot of money. There's big sort of, it's very glamorous, and we have some film stars who own teams. We have some massive industrialists who own teams. So there is a lot of momentum in these 2 months. But then once the tournament's over, everyone goes back to playing for their national teams, and it's all kind of forgotten, right? It's not like football where you'll have the international breaks, and this is actually quite the reverse, and this happens just once a year. And I think because of that, there is actually an opportunity for IPL teams. And similarly with the ISL, which is the Indian Super League, the football league, where we also have a few foreign players, not of the same stature as thing, where again, there are opportunities. And there are companies that are doing it. I think that, you're seeing some of this this happening, but I don't think that's a model that's been cracked yet, right? And also, I think that will benefit from people playing sport themselves. I think a lot of people who don't, who are participating in Dream 11, and this is a conversation that I was having not too long ago, is that Dream 11, a lot of the people who are on the platform have probably played some form of cricket themselves, right? Or some form of the sport themselves. But apart from that, we're fairly armchair in our approach to sport. Right. And I think that unless that changes. So therefore, I think even from a fan engagement standpoint, I think if you're a team and you're thinking about how do you actually engage your fan, I think the best way to do it is actually give fans that phygital model, right, which is physical plus digital, right? Sort of create something hybrid that they're able to touch and feel at the same time they can take home with them on their mobile phone. Right. And I think those models don't necessarily exist in India. And again, Rohan, you're often closer to some of these models than I am, but I think from whatever I've been seeing, they've been more focused on enhancing the sports your watching experience, right? So you have some pretty smart tech innovation that's being done by some of the broadcasters, for example, right? But that's in game and in match. It doesn't once that game's over, it really doesn't. There's not really much for you to take home. So I think that's where fan engagement sort of lies today. And a large part of that, I think, is just because, and again, I'm not the expert on this, but I think a large part of that is primarily because just access to first, first member data, not first member, what is the word?
First party data.
The access to first party data, which I don't think has been a priority for a lot of people up to this point.
Yeah, really interesting point. And maybe I'll just add to that quickly. I think Rohan's spot on. This is a model or around the fan engagement topic. The direct-to-consumer models have not been super successful yet beyond fantasy, which has been smashingly successful. But we've so far seen primarily just content delivery in different formats. So you're either delivering the live game, as the broadcaster will do, or some sort of other content beyond it, which is maybe some video content, or you're creating a platform for fans to get together and vote on stuff and kind of like a bit of community engagement stuff. But it's not really been monetized so well, unless it's pivoted. A good example of this is a company called Router, who's raised money a couple of times over, but most recently from the Advantage Fund. I think the last round was $25 million a couple of years ago. And they had to pivot kind of from doing fan engagement for sports to fan engagement for gaming. And all of those things, the content delivery, the streaming, the community engagement, all of that worked really well within the gaming community, hadn't worked so well. They'd done all right, but hadn't been able to break through maybe some sort of glass ceiling that they felt that they were hitting within the sports space. So there are models to emerge, but the Indian fan is there. The Indian fan is discerning, as we gathered from the last time that we met, that it's not that they will not spend, that they will spend, and they very often do exorbitant amounts just to go sit in a pretty crappy seat in a very large stadium where there's no differentiation, and they're spending thousands and thousands of dollars to get nothing sort of experience. So they will spend that. So if you can deliver something, that Indian fan has the capacity to spend as well. So, okay, we've covered a bit of the athlete stuff. We've covered a bit of the fan stuff. I want to, last couple of questions before we wrap this up. I want to talk about, from your perspective, I want to hear from you rather, what are the challenges to growth? What are the impediments to growth? Like what do we need to overcome to A, for sports to grow, and therefore as a subset for sports technology to grow in India?
So I think we are, I mean, you know, we are a nation that is still, like, our spending thresholds are still quite low, right? I think that's the reality in India. You know, you take an average family of four, our ability to be able to, like, if you really take an average family of four, that, and we're talking about the kind of spends that we were talking about a little while earlier, and I'm talking as little as, let's say, $10, you know, on a sporting activity, right? That number is estimated approximately, depending on which sort of statistics, and I'm going with, there is a there's a really astute sort of observer of Indian economics and Indian society called Rama Bijapurkar, and the way she thinks about it is like that number would be approximately 25 million, right? So that's comparable to to a small European country. But I think if you just keep that as a basic metric, and that's almost like your, in some sense, your total addressable market, right? And if you start from there, then you start to say, if we have to build anything, we have to first build for that market, because that's actually the market that has the propensity to spend, right? So I think that's the number one challenge, is sort of just focusing and saying, look, this has got to be our market. And we have the fallacy of big numbers in India. Right, 1.4 billion people, and then you sort of reduce that to 25 million. I can't even off the top of my head do the fraction there, right? So it's like 1/40th or something. So I think that automatically you're suddenly struck by how small your target market is. So I think that is the reality of running a profitable business. Number one, and number two, I think is also the opportunity to solve for a market where people haven't overcome that mindset. Like we were talking about this, so I won't spend much time talking about it. But basically this mindset of saying, why should I spend on sport over spending on education or, you know, dance or whatever, like
and movies.
Whatever. Movies, or eating out, right? Because they're all you're sort of competing for the same share of wallet. So I think that to me is sort of the macro challenge, right? And therefore, sports tech, when it comes to that, is actually solving for that, right? You're right. So if we can use technology to solve for those sort of, like, that sort of shift in mindset, those nudges, those micro sort of, you know, driving those micro transactions, which is why Dream 11 and, you know, the Fantasy League companies have done so well, is because they're able to, the value proposition is very clear. Right. If I put in 35 rupees or whatever, what have you, I'll be able to win big or whatever. Right. Like that's kind of the
just for context, that's like 30 cents, that's basically. Like,
Yeah.
So basically really small amounts. And if you can get accessible commerce to a larger population, that they can come in. So one part is that growing the entire market, which is why we've established that we firmly believe that in increasing the size of the market that actually does sport or accesses sport in some way will grow the market overall. So that's a big one. Anything else quickly?
I think the other is, you know, if you're going to do microtransactions, if you're going, like, basically, can you have models that are able to provide access to sport for very little money? Because that's the game changer, right? Because if you can look at volumes, and you can go, you know, below that 10, I'm just making that, like, I'm not making that number, but like using that as a $10 threshold thing. If you can sort of drop below that, but provide for volume, then that changes the game as well, because then you will actually, you know, if you build it, they will come. Kind of thing. So.
That's fair. In India, those are the opportunities. How do you get an interesting service and deliver it at a viable price point, viable for the business perspective, but also importantly from the consumer's perspective? And that's why it's such an exciting time to be there. Speaking of exciting, what's coming up for you over the next 12, 18 months, maybe personally, also from a firm perspective, anything, any interesting updates that you have to share?
I think for me, what's really exciting is the opportunity to really get deeper into Indian sport and solve for this thing about getting more Indians to play sport. And it's a 1.4 billion people problem, really. And so, you know, it's overwhelming, but at the same time, I'm really excited by the possibilities and potential.
And I guess that's where Rohan and I come together, because we share that vision, shall we say, about how do we get India more active and how do we crack this nut? And it's a fun one. It's a fun one to debate and talk over, but then also actually take steps. And one of those steps is, for example, from our side, whatever little that we do is to talk about it, to educate the market, to present the opportunities, understand the challenges, and just get the right people in the room together, which, Rohan, we managed to do, I think, pretty well when we were together in India for that little stint, and we will continue to do in the time to come. Rohan, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on our show. What is the best way for somebody to reach out to you if they want to connect?
I'm on @Vyavaharkar at Twitter, and I think if there's a way to put it on the screen, we can do
that. We'll put it in the show notes. So Twitter and LinkedIn, is all right?
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. Really. So we'll put those links, we'll put Rohan's profile links in the show notes so you can reach out to him. Fantastic. All right, last one before I let you go. Listeners of the pod will know this is my favorite question to ask. I always like to believe that we're sports fans first. So I want to know, what has been your favorite sporting moment? Now, I leave it to you. You want to go, because you had a bit of a career and as an athlete as well, so you can go there, you can go cricket, you can go non-cricket, whichever way you want to go.
So I'm going to actually answer that, Rohan, by giving a slightly different take on it. Is this is not something that happened on the sports field, and this, I've also covered sport, right, as a journalist. This happened, and this is not that either. But it actually happened in 2016 after PV Sindhu won her silver. PV Sindhu is a badminton the women's player, and she won India's first ever sort of individual silver medal in the 2016 Rio Olympics. And she came back home, and the number of people that turned up to receive her in Hyderabad, that is my favorite moment, because it did two or three things. Number one, it told you that Indian women could compete at the Olympic sport. Number two, it was an Indian woman getting a reception, right, for a sporting achievement, right? Not a politician, not a film star, but an Indian athlete who is sort of getting that, right? And number three is that what she kickstarted, and of course, a lot of credit to Saina Nehwal, who came before her, and you know, won medals before that, especially in London as well. I think what it did is it kickstarted this sort of badminton revolution in India. With Saina, PV Sindhu, then the Indian men winning the Uber Cup, etc. So I think there's sort of really been a massive, sporting revolution. And I think that moment specifically stands out as one in recent memory.
Nice one. That's why I love this question as well. We get such interesting moments and interesting stories from different people. Rohan, lots of stories that you've told today have been fantastic to listen to. Thank you so much for taking the time. This episode has run a bit longer than our normal ones, but I'm glad we took the time, because we're setting up, let's say, our content series for India, and India needs time. We've established that, so I'm glad we took it. Rohan, thanks once again for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, that's a wrap for the first episode of this series, where we're going to focus on various, let's say, thought leaders, innovation leaders in the Indian sports tech ecosystem. We've got some investors, we've got some startups, we've got different actors who are going to be coming on the show, and all culminating in our first ever Indian sports tech report. So if you're interested in talking, participating in some way, feel free to reach out. I'll see you guys next week. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.